Everywhere are his hands and legs, his eyes, heads and faces, and he has ears everywhere. In this way, the super soul exists, pervading everything. Please repeat after me. Everywhere are his hands,
everywhere are his hands
and legs,
and legs.
His eyes,
heads and faces,
and he has ears everywhere.
And he has ears everywhere.
In this way,
the
super soul exists, pervading everything.
Pervading everything.
Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As the sun exists, diffusing its unlimited rays, so does the super soul, or Supreme Personality of Godhead. He exists in His all-pervading form, and in Him exist all the individual living entities, beginning from the first great teacher, Brahma, down to the small ants. There are unlimited heads, legs, hands and eyes, and unlimited living entities. All are existing in and on the super soul. Therefore, the super soul is all-pervading. The individual soul, however, cannot say that he has his hands, legs and eyes everywhere. That is not possible. If he thinks that under ignorance he is not conscious that his hands and legs are diffused all over, but when he attains a proper knowledge, he will come to that stage, his thinking is contradictory. This means that the individual soul, having become conditioned by material nature, is not supreme. The supreme is different from the individual soul. The Supreme Lord can extend his hand without limit. The individual soul cannot. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that if anyone offers him a flower or a fruit or a little water, he accepts it. If the Lord is a far distance away, how can he accept things? This is the omnipotency of the Lord. Even though he is situated in his own abode, far, far away from earth, he can extend his hand to accept what anyone offers. That is his potency. In the Brahma Samhita 5.37, it is stated, Goloko eva nivasatya khilasya bhuta. Although he is always engaged in pastimes in his transcendental planet, he is all pervading. The individual soul cannot claim that he is all pervading. Therefore, this verse describes the Supreme Soul, the Personality of Godhead, not the individual. Sarvato pani padam tat, sarvato kshi siromukham, sarvato sruti malloke, sarvamavritya tishthati. Everywhere are his hands and legs, his eyes, heads and faces, and he has ears everywhere. In this way, the super soul exists, pervading everything. So here, Krishna is describing how he is all-pervading. Although he is one, but he is unlimited and inexhaustible. In the material nature, we see when something is divided, then it becomes exhausted, it diminishes. But with Krishna, that is not the case. Although he expands himself unlimitedly, still he remains the same Supreme Personality. And not only that, When Krishna expands himself, each of his expansion becomes equally potent as he himself. So in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead's supremacy can be perceived. Supremacy can be seen. Ajo opi shan avvayati. Krishna is unborn and at the same time he is avvaya, he is inexhaustible. Krishna is the Supreme Personality and his potency is inconceivable. Actually, from our material perception, we cannot possibly understand how Krishna is. Krishna, he expands himself into unlimited incarnations. There are innumerable incarnations of Krishna, but all of them are Krishna. They are non-different. It is not that when Krishna divides himself into half, his potency also becomes half. It's not that when Krishna expands himself into four, then his potency becomes divided into four. No. On the other hand, Krishna, no matter in how many forms he expands himself into, every single form of his is the Supreme Personality of God. Just as in Brahma Samhita it has been described that Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtham Nana Vataram Akorod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Parama Pumanjo Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham. Krishna expands himself into innumerable forms like Ram, Nrisimha, Varaha, Kurma, Vamana, Parashuram. And although he himself expands himself into unlimited forms, Ramadi Murtishu, but Krishna remains unchanging and eternal and inexhaustible Supreme Personality of God. Like for example, Krishna expands into Ram. Ram is a Kala avatar of Krishna. Kala, a part of the part of Krishna. Lord Ramchandra is Krishna's expansion. But Ramchandra also possesses the same potency as Krishna Chandra. There is no difference between Ram and Krishna. Ram has the same amount of potency. Similarly, Nrisimhadev. Nrisimhadev is again Krishna himself. Then Varahadev, Meena, Kurma. All these are Krishna's expansions and they are non-different from Krishna. So Krishna expands himself into unlimited form and he retains his supreme position in spite of these expansions, and all these expansions are also Krishna or non-different from Krishna. Now, from the material perspective, it is impossible to understand how it is possible. Therefore, Krishna's potency has been described as achinta. Achinta means inconceivable. Chinta means thinking, thought. And achinta means beyond our thought. Like by our thinking, by our reasoning, by our intelligence, we cannot understand how it is possible. And actually everything about Krishna is inconceivable. First of all, we cannot understand how he is the all-pervading, omnipotent Supreme Person. It is impossible to understand how he is all-powerful. How Krishna acts is impossible to understand. Just as it has been described here, his hands and legs and heads, eyes, are everywhere. Now, how can you understand that? It is impossible for us to understand. Like how one person can have his eyes and ears and legs and hands and heads, everything, everywhere. Similarly, we cannot understand how Krishna keeps all these universes floating in the space. How Krishna makes them float in the space? He does it just by his will, Ichha Shakti. By his will, Krishna makes all these planets in the universe floating in the space. Krishna even causes these universes float in the causal ocean. So it is inconceivable for us. How is it possible? Therefore, in order to approach or in order to understand Krishna, the first thing that we have to understand is that Krishna is inconceivable. Achinto. He is beyond our mental ability. Therefore, one of the first instructions of the Vedas is Achinto kholu je bhava na tang starkena jojayet. The thing that is beyond our conception, things that is inconceivable, there is no need to argue about that. And prakritibho pare jascha achitad achintasya lakshana. The thing that is beyond this material nature, that is the symptom of achinto. What is achinto? Anything that exists beyond this material nature is inconceivable. How Krishna expands himself into innumerable forms, it's inconceivable. How Krishna creates this material nature is inconceivable. He just glances towards the material nature and the material nature becomes manifest. The whole creation of the material nature is just due to his glance. Now how is it possible? Now does it mean that these are fairy tales? No. No. If someday we develop our proper vision, our spiritual vision, then we will see how Krishna does this thing. We will see Krishna, we will see also Prakriti, Mahamaya. We'll see how Krishna glances at the Prakriti and the creation begins. If we develop our spiritual vision, then we will see how Krishna, as the Mahavishnu, lying on the causal ocean, and as he is breathing, each bubble that is caused by his breathing in the causal ocean creates one universe. And in this way there are innumerable universes. Krishna is breathing, Krishna is lying in the causal ocean. And he is breathing. He is not only breathing through his nose and mouth, he is also breathing through the pores of his body. And his body is unlimited. And each bubble that is produced out of the breathing of Krishna is one universe. And then Krishna enters into these universes as the Garbhadakshayi Vishnu. And he fills up the universe with the water from his body. Like we sweat, Krishna produce some water from his body. And he filled up half of the universe. So these are all inconceivable. Now, if somebody thinks that, oh, these are just some fairy tales, then he is a loser. He won't be able to understand the secret of this, the secret behind the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one who accepts it with faith, then he will make spiritual advancement. Shraddhavan lavate jnanam. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that one who has faith, he can receive knowledge. A person who doesn't have faith will never be able to receive knowledge. A person who tries to judge everything or reason everything with his limited brain, tiny little brain, he will never be able to understand the mystery of the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when somebody approaches this realm of knowledge with faith, faith means accepting whatever is mentioned in the Vedas as the truth and nothing but the truth, then he will make advancement. The example has been given, like what this faith actually is. The faith is not blind. The faith is established on proper reasoning also. Like the faith is based on trusting that person. The faith is based on the understanding that the person who is giving the knowledge, he is trustworthy, he is not going to lie. Therefore, it is very important that the spiritual people, those who accept the role of a spiritual master or those who are preachers of Krishna consciousness, they should not lie. Because if devotees lie, if the spiritualists lie, then people will think, oh, he sometimes lies, so I can't take whatever he says as the truth. Therefore, a sadhu or a saintly person or a devotee must be truthful, so that people will trust. Yes, here is a person I can trust. Therefore, whatever he says is the truth and nothing but the truth. And what does the spiritual preachers or spiritual masters do? They simply repeat the words of the Vedas. And Vedas are simply telling the truth and nothing but the truth. When Vedas says that Mahavishnu lies in causal ocean and from his breathing all these universes are created, then we have to accept that yes, Mahavishnu is lying in the causal ocean. Although I cannot see with these tiny little eyes and puny little brain of mine, but Mahavishnu is lying in the causal ocean. And every single universe is nothing but a bubble caused by his breathing. And someday, if we develop our spiritual vision, we will see how Mahavishnu is lying there. And how these universes are generating from his body. And when we have faith, then we can also see that in our mind's eyes. When we trust the words of the Vedas and the teachings of the acharyas, then whatever has been described, we can see that in our mind's eye. Like we don't only just read and believe, we get to see also that how there is a causal ocean, how there is Mahavishnu lying there. It doesn't really take very much. All it needs is faith. Therefore, Shraddha is the first qualification for making spiritual advancement, or Shraddha is the first qualification, first requirement for understanding the spiritual subject matter. And as we develop faith, Krishna will give us the knowledge from within. Divya Gyan Hridaye Prakashito. The transcendental knowledge is revealed in the heart. It is not that we have to make a big journey, go beyond this material nature and then enter into the causal ocean and then we will see how Mahavishnu is lying there and then go beyond that, go past Brahma Jyoti and then we'll see Vaikuntha Loka and how Narayan is presiding in every single planet in Vaikuntha Loka. No, we don't actually have to go out externally to understand that. As we make spiritual advancement, that understanding will be revealed from within our hearts. Therefore it is said that by the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives this knowledge which is revealed in the heart. And as a result of that, one receives prema bhakti, loving devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Divya Gyan Hride Prakashito. Premo Bhakti Jaha Hoite Avidya Vinasha Jate Vede Gai Jaharu Charita. So that is the spiritual master. A bona fide spiritual master actually reveals the knowledge within the heart of a bona fide disciple, sincere disciple. And it is not that the spiritual master performs some magic and the knowledge is revealed in the heart of a disciple. No. Actually, the spiritual master is sitting in the heart of every living entity. And that is Krishna himself. Krishna, in the heart of a living entity, the super soul, is the original spiritual master of a living entity, called Chaitya Guru. And the Mahanta Guru, the spiritual master, the Diksha Guru or the Shiksha Guru, he is the representative of Krishna externally, so that we can see him. And as we reciprocate to the spiritual master, accordingly Krishna registers that from the heart, from within the heart, as the super soul. So when Krishna sees that a candidate is reciprocating very nicely with his, dealing very nicely with his representative, then Krishna becomes very pleased. And from within the heart of that living entity, Krishna gives the knowledge. And that is called Divya Gyan or transcendental knowledge. So this transcendental knowledge is not acquired by studies or learning many, many verses, memorizing many shlokas or intellectually understanding the philosophy. No. Nayam atma pravachanena labhya na medhaya na bahuna shrutena jame vaisha brinute tena labha vibrinute tanumsha. This understanding cannot be received by much studies, even the studies of the Vedas. Just by studying Vedas, memorizing, intellectualizing, pravachanena labhya, and not by discussion even, na medhaya, not by intelligence, na bohuna shrutena, not by much practice, this knowledge can be acquired. But jame vaisha vrinute tena labha vibrinute tanumsham. But when one surrenders unto the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then by His mercy, this knowledge automatically becomes revealed. So this is another inconceivable thing. And the sum and substance of this point is that when somebody becomes a devotee of Krishna, then Krishna gives him the knowledge. So all is needed is just to become a devotee and everything will become achieved. When you become a devotee, then everything will be accomplished. We don't have to separately endeavor for anything else. So the most important thing is to become devotee. And what is the meaning of a devotee? A devotee means to try to please Krishna with our senses. Rishikena Rishikesha Shevanam Bhakti Ucchate. Bhakti means, devotion means to try to please the Lord of the senses by means of our senses. How many senses do we have? We have how many senses? 11. What are those 11 senses? Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and touch. These are 5 knowledge acquiring senses. Then there are 5 working senses: the hands, the legs, the anus, the belly, the genitals. 10. And what is the 11th sense? Mind. So when all these 11 senses are engaged in giving pleasure to Krishna, that is called devotion. trying to please Krishna, the Lord of the senses, with the senses. Then that is called devotion. Now this is another very important aspect. Devotion just doesn't mean physically do something for Krishna as with a sense of duty. No. We shouldn't think that, I'm supposed to come for the Mangala Arati and chant 16 rounds, and now by 10 o'clock I have finished everything. I chanted 16 rounds, I attended the morning program, I attended the Bhagavatam class, and I took prasad, and now I am free to do all kinds of nonsense. No, that is not devotion. Devotion means using all the senses in the service of Krishna. Like we have our eyes. The eyes should be engaged in the service of Krishna. We have our ears. Our ears should be engaged in serving Krishna. We have our nose. Our nose should be engaged in serving Krishna. We have our skin. That should be engaged in serving Krishna. We have our tongue. That should be engaged in serving Krishna. Then our hands should be engaged in serving Krishna. Our words should be engaged in serving Krishna. Our stomach should be engaged in serving Krishna. Our anus and genitals should be engaged in serving Krishna. Then ultimately, our mind should be engaged in serving Krishna. That means whatever we do with our senses must be done for the sake of pleasing Krishna. And that is called pure devotional service. Actually, when all the 10 senses are engaged in serving Krishna, then mind automatically becomes engaged in thinking of Krishna. When the mind is engaged in thinking of Krishna all the time, then intelligence automatically becomes engaged in devotional service. And then our consciousness becomes engaged in serving Krishna. And that is called Krishna consciousness. You see, consciousness usually works through the mind in the material nature. But when the mind becomes engaged in serving Krishna all the time, manmana bhavo madbhakta, when you attain that stage, that manmana bhavo stage, with the mind you can always think of Krishna, then our consciousness will automatically be running towards Krishna. And that is called Krishna consciousness. In our consciousness, all the time, Krishna will be predominating. But that doesn't mean that one stops thinking or stops acting. No. One does everything like anybody else, or even better than anybody else. But he does it with Krishna in the mind all the time. And that is called Krishna consciousness. And there is a specific way of doing it. Like in Krishna consciousness, we do not stop the activities of our senses. On the other hand, we engage the senses in serving Krishna. And the devotional service actually begins with the sense that is most difficult. Which sense organ is most difficult? Tongue. Tar modhe jivha oti lobhamoy sudur mati. Of all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious, very avaricious, very greedy, and it is very wicked. Tongue is very wicked and very difficult to control. Therefore, the first thing is to grab the tongue. And how do we get hold of the tongue? By giving the tongue Krishna prasad. Just give a lot of Krishna prasad to the tongue. And then make the tongue chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
the glories of Krishna. So, we start our devotion with these two things. First, feed the tongue and make the tongue chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So, in this way, when the tongue becomes controlled, then the other senses automatically become controlled. Therefore, Prabhupada put so much emphasis on good prasada. Prabhupada often used to say that the prasadam should be good. Prabhupada told me at least in three different occasions to see that the devotees get nice prasad. When Prabhupada was sick in Vrindavan, Prabhupada sometimes used to send me to the devotee prasadam and tell me that go and see how the prasadam is. And one day I felt that the prasadam was not so nice, and I told Prabhupada, the prasadam was not so nice. Then Prabhupada called the temple president. And Prabhupada actually chastised him. He said, why the prasadam was not nice? Prabhupada himself in the beginning, when he started ISKCON, he used to cook prasad himself and serve it to the devotees. And then Prabhupada used to keep a jar full of gulab jamun for the devotees to eat whenever they felt hungry. So a whole jar full of gulab jamun used to be kept there on the passage of 26 Second Avenue, and the devotees, just as they would feel like, would just pop in a few gulab jamun in their mouth. And the gulab jamun, the popular name for gulab jamun was ISKCON bullet. So a bullet a day keeps Maya away. So when you take the bullet, ISKCON bullets, then Maya won't come. So this is how we have to learn. We have to learn how to control our tongue. Of course, that doesn't mean that we should always feed the tongue. The best is to make others, try to help others become controlled. And so the best way to control our senses is through the tongue, by chanting Hare Krishna and by taking Krishna prasad. And this was also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's formula. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also had a similar formula. That is, akantho puriya karo prasad shevan, sarvakkhan karo hari naam sankirtan. You take prasad up to your neck. Literally, kantho means neck. And akantho means up to the neck. So take prasad up to the neck and then don't go to sleep. Chant Hare Krishna. Jai Shishi Gaur Nithai Ki. Akantho Puriya Karo Prasad Shevan Sarvakkhan Karo. And all the time you chant the holy name of Krishna. So that is the best way to start our spiritual life. And when the senses, when the tongue is controlled, then what is the next thing that we have to control? No, ears. Ears. Well, genitals, of course. There is no room for that. That is, a spiritual life means brahmachari. And that is one organ that is one sense organ that one doesn't really need to use. Only if there is a need, like for procreation, one will use that. Oh, I see. The tongue, belly and genitals, that way. But when the tongue is controlled, belly will be controlled. And when the belly is controlled, then the sex desire will be controlled. So, but the next thing is the ears. Hear. When we hear nicely, then our heart will automatically become satisfied. When we hear the glory of Krishna, then we'll immediately feel how wonderful it is. And I have noticed, like when we tell the stories of Krishna, devotees just get spellbound. They forget eating and sleeping. So in this way, just using our hearing faculty in hearing about the glories of Krishna, we control our ears. And this way, our nose, our eyes, and our skin become engaged. So we should always be very careful or very, very vigilant that we are using all our senses in serving Krishna or giving pleasure to Krishna. Then comes our legs, like in the previous verse. No, I'm sorry, in Srimad Bhagavatam verse, it has been pointed out this morning what I discussed, that the legs are very important. Because legs are symbolic to movement. But in the material nature, living entities are just moving, like an animal, just for sense gratification. Prabhupada used to say that the animals move on four legs and modern men are moving on four wheels. But they are just running around for ahara nidra bhayam maithunanja, for eating, sleeping, mating and defending. But actually the legs should be used for the movement, for rendering devotional service to Krishna. So, in this way, devotional service actually means to engage the senses in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when a living entity does that, his life becomes automatically joyful. He automatically becomes happy. A devotee does not need to look for things outside for his happiness, for his enjoyment. Devotee is Atmaram. Devotee feels his satisfaction from within. And that satisfaction comes just by serving the Supreme Personality of God. And then Krishna gives him whatever is needed. Krishna provides, Krishna gives. Devotees are not suffering. Devotees are not even poverty stricken. Devotees have everything. Prabhupada often used to say also that the devotee should dress very nicely so that people should think that, oh, these are very high class people. If people think that the devotees are low class people, then they won't come near them. But if they think that, oh, these are very high-class people, then they will be attracted to come to them. And actually, the devotees are the highest class of people. Like, they have the highest philosophy, they have the highest culture. And when people come to our temples, they see that. They see that, they see that the devotees have such wonderful kitchen culture. Their prasadam is so nice. So they immediately become attracted, and they see that since these people eat so well, these people must be high class. Because food is one of the most important aspects of culture. You will notice the most cultured nations have the best cuisine. Isn't it? I don't know about the German culture though. So, but you can see in Europe, the Italian culture is very old and very rich. And whatever little culture they have, at least they have some good food stuff. And if you go to the Vedic culture, then you'll see that has the most fantastic cuisine. People can't even imagine. Many big, big people get completely completely flabbergasted when they see our prasadam.
Like a couple of months ago, when I was in South Africa, we invited the mayor of Durban. She's a lady, and her husband is a doctor. And she came with a whole entourage, about 12 or 13 of them. Her bodyguards, her chauffeurs, her secretary. And we served them the prasadam. And it's completely blew their mind. They couldn't, I mean, she even told, like when she was coming, she was quite doubtful what we'll offer. I know, we invited them for dinner, and she was quite doubtful what we're going to actually serve them, because we told them that she knew that we are vegetarians, but at the end of it, I mean, one could see that they were completely intoxicated. Although there was no alcohol served, but they had the best kind of intoxication that night, and they liked it so much that I was told that about 1 week after that, she was in a meeting with her some kind of conference or board meeting, and she was speaking about, practically half the time she spoke, how much she appreciated our temple and our prasadam and the devotees. So actually, we have the best things in the world that a man can have, or man can even aspire to have. We have the best philosophy, we have the best culture, we have the best literatures, we have the best people. Actually, devotees are the best people in the world. I remember before joining ISKCON, one of my main objective was to be in the association of the best of people. That's all I wanted to be. I just wanted to be in the association of best people. And Krishna fulfilled my desire when I realized that desire became really fulfilled when I joined ISKCON. I could see that the devotees of ISKCON are actually the best people in the world. And it's not only me, I heard many people say that. Like the other day, one Bloop devotee was telling that. In England, a devotee who actually left the movement and went away. When I was there the last time, he was expressing his feelings about the devotees. He said that he realized that the devotees are the best people. Like, although he is running his business, meet all kinds of people, but there's no, he realized that there, no one comes anywhere near the devotees. So that's why it is very important that we make people, the outsiders, aware what we have to offer, or what they'll get if they come close to us. Like when they come close to us, they should feel that now their life has become successful. And this is what they were actually looking for, and now they found it, they're not going to go anywhere else. That's how temple should actually become like. Our temple should become a kind of a place where when one comes, he won't feel like going back. Just like Jag Gatvana Nivartante Tad Dhamma Paramam Mam. Krishna said that when one goes to a spiritual sky, he never comes back. Right? And actually our temples are the spiritual sky. So when one comes to our temple, he should have the feeling of Vaikuntha, or feeling of being in Vaikuntha. And he would like it so much that he wouldn't like to go back. After all, when one comes to Vaikuntha, why should he want to go back to Maya? So that's how we should actually try to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. that's a very important responsibility we have. And that is, first we have to understand what we have received ourselves. What is the value of the thing that we have received? And then we must try to give it to others to enrich them, to help them to make their lives successful. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada gave a very simple formula.
But it's a very effective formula. And the formula is that this movement is a preaching movement. And the books are the basis for our preaching. Utility is the principle. Purity is the force. And preaching is the essence. Now that's what I mentioned first here. So preaching is the essence, books are the basis, utility is the principle, and purity is the force. So our preaching will be effective as we become more and more purified. If we don't become pure, then our preaching won't have any effect. But when you get purified, yes, then immediately our preaching will have its effect. Like Prabhupada used to say, once Prabhupada asked, do you know, can you tell me why everybody respects me so much? Wherever I go, people respect me. Why do they respect me so much? He asked his devotees. No one could actually, different devotees gave different answers, but that was not the real answer. Then Prabhupada said, because I conquered sex desire. Because I conquered sex desire, wherever I go, people respect me. And conquering sex desire means conquering all material attachment. Because sex desire is the ultimate material attachment. All the material attachment converge into this one point, sex desire. Therefore, a person who conquered sex desire, he has conquered all material attachment. That means he has become completely pure. And when that person goes out and preaches, it immediately has results. It immediately has tremendous effect. And that's where we see, like when Prabhupada was here, there was such a tremendous spiritual wave. The whole world was flooded with this spiritual vibration of Srila Prabhupada. Because Srila Prabhupada was a pure devotee of Krishna. Now, in order to represent Srila Prabhupada, in order to fulfill his desire to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world most effectively, we have to become purified. So preaching is the essence, and our purity is the force. How effective our preaching is going to be. So, Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any questions?